If you need a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers have Bibles. And let's go over to Proverbs chapter 23, please. Proverbs 23. I said 23, make it 22, please. Okay, look what it said in Proverbs chapter 22 and verses 6 and 7. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, isn't this interesting? He's saying here, train up a child in the way that he should go. Now, this... the way that he should go. We're about to start some marriage and family teaching. And so we can show you the way that he's supposed to go. Because a lot of people don't know the way that they're supposed to go. They're trying to guess the way that they're supposed to go. And that's not good enough. You're going to have to know the way that you're supposed to do things. And so... we want to teach people that. But I was trained up, the way I was trained up, mom and dad, I mean, they did a good job on me. I mean, I'm here in the pulpit. And I'm not saying I came directly here, but I came. And so, but we, as far as money is concerned, they believed in, you know, getting things and buying things and buying it on credit. Because the things that we bought, especially the big ticket items, there wasn't enough money at that point to do things. So you had to put something on layaway, put something down, and then get it and then pay it off on a revolving charge account, you know. And it seemed like we was always revolving. We never seemed to stand still, but we're always charging more, so forth and so on. And to borrow money is not a sin. To borrow money is not a sin. The problem comes when money is borrowed and you can't pay it back. Then now, all kinds of things. Your integrity is on the line. Your word that you gave the people. Embarrassment might come. Or in my particular case, worry came. And worry began to affect my stomach and everything. And I was working at a company and so forth, and I tell you, worry was putting, Maalox. I used to take a lot of Maalox in for my stomach and so forth. But it was because one of the things that was worrying me was bills. And it looked like they wouldn't stop coming. They just came. And then when people called the house, we didn't have call ID like they have today. You could just kind of see there and see Sears robot, huh? But at that this time, you answered the phone. See, you took a chance, and you say, "Well, I know they're not calling this late." Hello, is this Mr. Winston, William Winston? No, he is not. He is. See, and you start lying and carrying on. Well, that's. That's because of borrowed money. Now, like I said, not a sin to borrow it, but you get in trouble when this borrowed money comes to a place where it brings pain. Now, let me show you that. Let's go over to 2 Kings in chapter 6, please. 2 Kings chapter 6. All right. The Bible says you'll be the lender and not the borrower. So if borrowing was a sin, then you'd be sinning having somebody to borrow from you, or if somebody wanted to borrow from you. So it's not that. Look at verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. In other words, the place that we have in our meetings now is too small. Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Boy, while I was talking to you, the Holy Ghost started talking to me again. Go ye. Just a minute. And go ye, where am I? Yeah. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So here's a senior prophet training up junior prophets. And now they want him to go with him. So he said, okay, he'll go. Verse 4. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was failing a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Wow. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the axe did swim. Therefore, he said, he take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. All right. Now, this is something. You know, God asked me a question over the last couple of days. He said, who paid Jesus's salary? Man, that's good, God. Who paid Jesus' salary? Who do you think paid it? How did he get it from God? There you go. Did Jesus ever have any lack? Did Jesus invite you over to his house for you to feed him? No. When he invited you to a meeting, you came to a meeting, he fed you. Now, this was a man, quote, quote, with no job. Let me talk to this group over here. Now, I want you to see this. Because the system of Babylon is designed to put you under bondage. It's designed for it. And what Satan does is he knows when your birthday is. Because he saw you when you got born and wrote out a script for your life. I want her to die just as broke as her mama died. Now, I'm not talking about anybody now. If the shoe fits you, wear. If it don't fit you, don't look at me crazy, because I'm teaching something. I want you to see this. There's a script that he has planned for your life. And that's why when you try to get outside of that script, you feel pressure. See, you're trying to break that. But he's got a theater out here, and everybody plays their role. And it's on a treadmill. Have you run on a treadmill? Y'all see that? Am I going anywhere? Yeah. He have you running fast, but not going anywhere. So when it's time for your retirement, you can't even write a $5,000 check. Now, don't tell me your life wasn't scripted. If that's you right now, you need to get off to the treadmill. You need to get out there in the field and run. That's about right for some people. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that your job was never designed to be your source. Because Jesus wasn't working a job, he was here on assignment. And he says, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. Now, who is your paymaster? The same one that was a paymaster for Jesus. The Father is. The Father is, and he can take care of you in a wilderness with no jobs in there and no way of making a living. He can take care of you. Watch this every day. Something fresh every day. He can even change the menu every day. Now, you follow what I'm saying? Who paid Jesus' salary? Oh, that was a powerful question he asked me. So my point to you is that the enemy does that because he wants to back us up with scarcity so that we'll have to go in debt.
Right, that's it.
Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it how?
More
abundantly. He said over 2 Corinthians, put it up there on the board, please. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Put it up there in the Amplified. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. Note abundance. I said note abundance. So that you may always and under all circumstances, whatever the need, be what? Self-sufficient. You don't have to go to a system. Possessing enough to require no outside aid or support. And furnished in abundance for every good work and every charitable donation. He is not talking about, see, the tendency is to think, I'm still trying to do it myself. If I'm still trying to do it myself, then, boy, I got to get a car, but I'm going to get a car now. This car is going to get me 50 miles a gallon. Well, you're talking about a bicycle. You know what I mean? I mean, you're talking about something that you, can you get in that? I mean, see, the tendency is to shrink your vision down so you can pay for it because you're still dealing with scarcity. The blessing is to distinguish you, not how long your dress is. The blessing is to tell people, I'm not talking about not living holy. I'm talking about the blessing, the power of that blessing. And I'm telling you, what we've done is we tried to keep God down in our level of thinking. And we need to take the straps off. Let God be God.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
See, if God is rich, why should I be poor?
Amen.
Now, listen at me now, because don't go out here and get the wrong message on me, because I don't care. You can get what you want to get. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Because some folk are going to talk about you anyway, man. You try to act nice and try to be courteous and try to cut everything down and make everything real pleasant. They still talk about you. So I'm going to give them something to talk about. So, in this, I mean, here I was last night, and we were coming back from somewhere last night, and I had failed to fill my tank up. What happened is, every time I get out to go somewhere, I'm running, pushing a little bit shorter time, so I don't have time to stop by the gas station. Well, that went on for almost a week. And what happened last night, the light came on. Y'all familiar with the light? And in my car, it'll light up right on the dashboard. It says reserve tank. You are on reserve tank. That means get to the gas station somewhere. So I came home, come from downtown. So I went on and I got to the gas station. And I said to my wife, we'll see how much it's going to cost to fill this tank up. Because this good gauge of it, because it's on reserves. So I put the thing in there and things on 20, 30, 40, 50. 60, 70, 80, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 3, then boom, flat, 100. I said, now, watch this now. See, with scarcity thinking, that's where people start sweating. But BW don't sweat. Because I'm not on the system. So what happened is I given him a $100 bill and it took the whole hundred. I said, man, I said, okay. All right. So I drove on. God said, well, now I can do it better than that. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I can make it so you can fill it up tonight. And your next fill up will be September 15th. Now, think about that. Think about it. How about the woman who had one meal left? Come on, somebody. What did God do with that one meal every night? He replenished it. Every night I go to sleep, whatever gas I've not spent, it'll fill it right back up. Sleep, fill. Sleep, fill. I'm going to come over here now because I see that. Now, what am I doing? I'm thinking supernaturally. See, I'm no longer thinking naturally because you can't have any further than you can think. Whatever you're thinking is going to be where you're going to end up. Say amen. So only thing I'm saying, he gave me some of it. He was just showing me some of this. So the tendency people have, they get the gas pump and they get up to about 40 and their hands start shaking. And then 50, the whole body starts shaking. Now, then he said this. He said, you can get together with that church and bring the price of gas down to half of that. Come on now. See, we are running this. You see what I'm thinking? I'm not thinking scarcity anymore. Oh, I'm going to run out of oil. No, that's never crossed my mind because the scarcity thinking is away from me. Now I'm thinking abundance. Say amen to that. So these kinds of thoughts come with abundance thinking. Amen. So back here to debt, what happened to the man? He borrowed an axe. Well, where did he borrow it from? He borrowed it from the Philistines. Why the Philistines? Because at that time, the Philistines were the only ones that were forging iron. So he had to go to the world to borrow what he needed to build the church. So what happened? He got over his head in debt. And when you get over your head in debt, it brings pain. That's the danger of debt. Now, if you think in abundance, stay with me now. Y'all gonna stay with me? I'm telling you, I'm done talking natural. I am in the supernatural preaching business now. So you may as well brace up and get used to it. I'm not talking naturally anymore. I'm going on up. Praise God. Because I need it myself. You know, the best sermons is when you're preaching about yourself. That's the best sermon. I just hope one day I don't come under conviction and fall down on the stage and start crying and so forth. Now, where was I? I'm out of time on that thing. Can I finish my last point? We see something and we want to shrink it down to where we think we can pay for it. But here's the truth. It's been paid for. The truth is, everything that you desire according to life and godliness is already paid for. Do you realize one of the biggest reasons why Jesus came to the earth is to take back what was stolen? Who does this earth belong to? Wait a minute. Wait, first, what does the scripture say? The earth is whose? The Lord. And the what? Everything in it. Who are you joint heirs with? The Lord. Whatever he gets, you got. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, folks, I'm going to start thinking big again. Watch this. And thinking cash. Big and cash. I said big and cash. See, it was all right when I could first pay off a suit, you know, because I was raised in a house that everything was revolving. I had my pants on. I'm going to school every day, but they were on revolving charge account. We had, you know, whatever I had and, you know, whatever we did, everything was revolving. But then I had to come up to another level to find out, wait a minute, I don't need to revolve anymore. I can believe God for cash. Say amen to that. Now, I have a credit card and I use a credit card, but I pay it all off at the end of the month because I don't like bills. I do not like bills. Okay? Now, so my point to you is that God can do it, but set your heart to believe him for it. See, set your heart saying, oh, my next car, I'm going to pay for that thing cash. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, listen. It might come that this car that you have now, something break down in it and it's not worth fixing and you want to get another one, but you don't have your faith there yet. Then, boom, you go ahead and get the car, pay as much as you can, and then believe God that you can pay the rest off quickly. Yeah. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. Don't come under conviction just because you read the scripture. Yeah. Don't come under condemnation just because you read the scripture. Because yeah. People get condemned and now their faith don't even work. Oh, pastor told me no borrow, no money. I didn't tell you that. I didn't tell you that. See, and I'm going to tell you something. That's where some folks have gone. And that ain't quite what God did. He didn't go that far. He said the borrower is servant to the lender. He said you'll be the head, not the tail. Come on, the lender and not the borrower. Now, why would you not need to borrow? Let's just look at that real quick and then we'll stop. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Let's just look at that real quick. I'm out of time on this. Can I just show you this just scripture since it's Mother's Day? Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this didn't happen in my life until I decided it was going to happen. That's all I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you got to make up your mind that you're going to do these things because the enemy's job is to script you. Look what he said in verse 9. The Lord shall establish you, what kind of people? Holy people unto himself. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that you're what? Called by the name of the Lord. Verse 11, the Lord shall make you what? Plenteous in goods. What does it say in the Amplified? Put that particular verse up there in the Amplified, please. Let's just see what it says. A surplus. Oh, boy, had it up there before I could even turn it on. Go ahead. The Lord shall make you have a what? Surplus of prosperity. Next verse, please. Next verse. The Lord shall open unto you good treasure, give you the heavens, and give the rain in your land in season, and bless the work of your hands, all the work of your hands, and you shall what? Lend them in nations. Come on. You shall not borrow. What is one of the reasons you're not going to have to borrow? Because you're going to have a surplus of prosperity. You got what I'm saying? All that ties in together. Don't just take one verse and isolate it. Because if you do that, sometimes you're taking it out of context. I think in the theological schools, they call that apologetics, or one of the terms, hermeneutics. Or people are taking it out of context. Keep the thing in context. He is saying, you're going to have so much, you don't need to borrow.
Amen.
See, what I like to do is I like you to come in without pressure. Man, nobody put pressure on me. I don't like pressure on me. There's enough pressure on me out here with the devil. And I come in, nobody put it. We're not going to put pressure on you. We want to have you to enjoy doing this. He said, praise God, next year I'm going to set my face like flint. I'm going to pay this house off. I'm going to pay this thing off, whatever have you. Give the Lord a praise. Pay your tithe off of it. All right, all right. Prayer, prayer, prayer.